as it relates to serving the people, serving the community. So yeah, that's an issue all in itself. It's crazy. And you know, originally we went down there because we found out about the Pachamama law and we were so excited, like, oh my God, Bolivia is doing this amazing, amazing thing. We have to understand what they're doing. We have to be a part of it. We have to learn. We have to like get it. We have to learn how it's being done so that we can come back and we can share it with people and we can spread the word. And then we get there and we find out there's so many problems. There's so many problems with the law being executed. There's so many problems with the government really holding up their end of the deal as it relates to their ability and their willingness to serve the community and to protect the environment from being harmed. And the issue is such a large one, and the pothole always gets deeper because as a poor country, Bolivia is the poorest country in South America. Bolivia is also the only landlocked country in South America, but Bolivia is very rich in minerals and resources. But even in Bolivia's scale of economic power in comparison to the rest of the world, it's like this, the tiers of people's ability to make real change as it relates to these things is so complicated. You know, everyone has a role, but at the same time, everyone doesn't have the ability to really, really, really make the impactful change or the impactful action that is going to better our lives and better the environment. And it really comes down to the United States of America, okay? I'm at you, USA. I'm at you. Do better. Do a better job of trying to serve the environment. We have to be here. Our children's children have to be here. Generations of people have to be here. If we don't have even the space or the resources to be able to sustain that, what do we have? We have no earth. We are making decisions based off of momentary fulfillment of what it'll give us right now in this moment. But we're not thinking about the long-term effects of climate change. We're not thinking about just how it's going to affect the world, the earth, all we have. And the earth will sustain itself. The earth will, you know, when it happens, the earth will have another ice age, or the earth will burn over and grow back again, you know. But what about the people? What about us? What about our flesh and blood? What about how humans have impacted this earth? You know, that is really what's important. And it's not even so much about the temperature rising and rainfall changing. There are places on the globe where ice caps are extremely melting and communities are lacking resources as a result of it. There are places on the earth where people are being moved and displaced because of the way that the climate has changed. What happens when the land and other places of the world is no longer able for people to live on it, and people will want to come to America, or people are going to be refugees just like they are now in other parts of the world? What happens when people want to be refugees, or when they need to be refugees and come to America? Are we going to tell them that they can't come here? Are we going to stop them from entering our country after we have had such a hand in negatively affecting the environment, after we have had such a role in just not helping when we know that we can and we have the technology that we need to sustain everything that we have? That's the thing. We don't have to keep polluting. We don't have to keep dumping. We don't have to keep fracking. We don't have to keep mining. We don't have to. We don't have to. We have the technology and we have the resources so that we can do things the right way. So we need to do things the right way. Okay? Pachamama. Breath. Oh my God. But I'm just so, I'm such in a space where I don't know what to do with my frustration. I do know what to do with my frustration. I plan a trip and take students to Bolivia. And now I'm doing post-trip action where we're going to fight the corporational impact locally on the environment. And we're going to protest against how local corporations and nationwide corporations are negatively affecting this environment. And when I go back to Philly, I will continue to be an advocate for environmental justice and the work of environmental advocacy, because I am so knowledgeable at this point of how important it is. And everyone should be. And I know it can't always be the first thing on everybody's mind. I know people are like, I can't worry about global warming. I got to feed my kids. I can't worry about recycling, or I can't worry about eating healthy food or growing my own food. I got to think about this. And it's like, I get it. I get it. It's challenging. It's complicated. It's a very tied up web of intricate connections where there's no real easy explanation for how to do it. It's not just like 1 + 1 = 2. It's complicated. It's pi. It's 3.14159678. I don't know the number, but I know it's long and I know it doesn't end. And I know this battle is one that's long and doesn't end, but the sooner we start fighting, the sooner we start fighting for it, the sooner we are serious in the people power, the sooner that people come together with their power and stand up and say, this is what we want, this is what we need, this is what we will demand, this is what we will fight for, this is what we will sacrifice for, this is what we are willing to change our lives for, the sooner that we do that, the better off the earth will be. And the more people will be influenced, and the more people will be inspired, and the faster people will take on and take notice and say, this is something that is serious. This is something that is important, because it's only going to be us that's going to change it. The government's not going to say, oh, wow, yeah, I guess today it snowed 7 feet. Maybe we should chill a little bit. No, that's not going to happen. It doesn't work like that. People have to demand the change. People have to be willing to get their hands dirty for the change if it's important to them. And it should be important to everybody, Saran says. So that was Bolivia. Bolivia was amazing. I was telling you all that we participated in a coa ceremony where we sacrificed, or we gave coca leaves to the ancestors, to the fire. And we had to all set an intention, everyone around the circle, but specifically the four people inside of the circle. I was one of the four people who was selected to stand inside of the circle closest to the fire. And I got to set my intention fourth out of the four people inside of the circle, closest to the fire. So my intention, I'm going to share with you after this break. I'm excited for you to hear it. Yeah, we're gonna play a little bit of Frank Ocean, take a little break, and be right back after this on Saran Says Sundays.
Making our entrances into life outside. We've been in this room too long. Recreation is keeping us self-contained and aware of each other's form still, and in full strides just the same, keeping us warm. Walking in straight lines, talking to sleep at night, coddled and pacified. Our versions of mothers. So new to me, it's so new to me, having you around. So new to me, it's so new to me, having you around. What if we decide to live by choice? All this time I knew that average was something to fall back on. After genius ends, I watch video. Only differences flatten and we miss sparks of lightning storm. Behind wet faces, slip my pants back on and rewind it backward more. The tape stopped before I was back alone. I'll be back before the street lights on. Of God, yeah. Breaks the sun.
how I do. Let go of a prayer for you, just a sweet word. The table is prepared for you. Wishing you Godspeed, glory. There will be mountains you won't move. Still, I'll always be there for you. How I do, I let go of my claim on you. It's a free world. You look down on where you came from sometimes, but you'll have this place to call on always.
This love will be
That was Godspeed by Frank Ocean and Kim Burrell. And before that, Rushes 2 by Frank Ocean. Welcome back to Saransa Sundays. I am already feeling the relaxation that I set as an intention this show, earlier on in the show, for what I wanted to receive from today's show. For those of you who are just tuning in, I am chilling today. I am feeling good. And my best friend, he told me before I came into the studio, he said, you don't have to put pressure on yourself, Saran. You don't have to put pressure on yourself. You're okay. You just got back from Bolivia. And I'm just like, no, I have to go into the studio. I have to do Sarantes. I mean, come on. I went 2 weeks without doing it, okay? I missed you all so much. And I can't just use not feeling good as an excuse to not do today's show. I can't do it. Pressure or no pressure, feeling good or not feeling good, I have to do it. I have to do it. So I'm here and I'm happy. And I want to thank you for tuning in right now. If you are tuning in, before we transition out of talking about Bolivia, I have a GoFundMe up. I was able to get most of my trip paid for because I pitched the project and I proposed it and I wrote it and I designed it and I sustained it. So I got most of my trip paid for, but I have a little bit of a balance due for my trip on my account that's due to my school in 2 weeks. So if you are interested in giving a little $5 here, $50 there, you can do so. My GoFundMe, if you look it up, it's Pachamama, Pachamama. Service trip, Bolivia. I think if you just look up Pachamama service trip, you'll find it. Saran Sankofa. Also, there's a link to it on my Facebook. You can click on that'll send you to my GoFundMe. So before the break, I was talking to you all about the intention that I set over my coca leaves when I was putting them in the fire at the koa ceremony. And I I really wanted to go back to this intention because I had a really deep conversation with myself about it. I'm always having conversations with myself. You ever been one of those people who just like have so much to say, and literally Saran says so much to say, and I very often don't have someone to talk to about it. So I'm always having conversations with myself about what it is that I'm thinking and feeling. And when I tell you, it has been single-handedly one of the best things that has ever happened to my life. I talk to myself excessively, y'all. Like excessively to the point where when I was supposed to stop growing out of it, I didn't grow out of it. And after imaginary friends were a thing of the past, my mom and dad would be like, who are you talking to? I'd be downstairs talking to myself in the living room. Like, who are you talking to? I'd be like, nobody. And then I'd be like, myself, you know, once I got old enough to realize, like, listen, I'm talking to myself, okay? I'm talking to myself. Now people don't ask me, they just know. Like, if you hear a voice in the other room, it's Saran talking to herself. No, that makes me sound crazy. I am, though. I'm crazy for the feeling that I get when I can express what I'm feeling without fear of judgment, without fear of misunderstanding, without fear of lack of confusion. The only confusion that exists is the confusion that's going away when I'm talking to myself. So, heads up for anyone out there who needs somebody to talk to. Talk to yourself, okay? Talk to yourself. Darn it. Saran says. So I was talking to myself the other day about the intention that I set at the Koa ceremony. And that intention was self-love. We had to set an intention for ourselves. And we had to set an intention for everyone in the group. And the intention that I set for everyone in the group was self-love. I think the way I kind of phrased it was I wish that everyone here has an abundance of self-love and an understanding that lack of self-love is the only thing that stops you from loving others. And I thought about that when I got back home and I meditated on it. I said, ooh, self-love. So powerful, so deep. And then I thought about the levels of self-love and how in order to find true happiness in life, or not even happiness, but peace. Happiness is subjected to happenings, is momentary, but peace is a little more appropriate for the feeling that I am talking about. The peace that comes with self-love rather than the happiness. And I was thinking about the stages of the self in self-love, the stages of what happens to someone when they love themselves, you know, what happens to someone when they feel like, okay, I know what's going on and I can maintain this feeling through my thoughts and my emotions and my words and my actions, all of those things. So I'm going to break it down to you. And I came to this discovery of self-love and the stages of self-love as a result of being in relationships that forced me to realize how much I loved myself, and how much kind of it was just time to graduate to the next level of loving myself. So the first stage of self in self-peace is, of course, self-love. Self-love is the foundation of your understanding and acceptance of your life and yourself and who you are and how you are composed and made up in this world. Self-love is one of those things that it's very hard to adopt if you are not in the practice of adopting it, but no one person is excluded from the world of self-love. Everyone can get to a place where they love themselves and they are showing that they love themselves no matter what has happened or is going to happen in their lives. It's not like some people are just better at loving themselves than other people. I mean, the reality is we are predispositioned to thinking of things optimistically or pessimistically. 50% of your attitude to the world is decided for you before you were born biologically. And that's been proven. So 50% of your ability to see optimistically or pessimistically is due to chemical balances in your body. Those chemical balances cannot be changed. So what I mean by that is some people are naturally optimistic. Some people are naturally pessimistic. Some people, most people are somewhere in between. But when I say naturally, I don't mean comfortably as much as I mean instinctually. So instinctually, you'll probably find out that there's a voice in your head that says something before you tell yourself, oh no, it's good, I got this, or oh no, it's good, this is cool, oh no, it's good, the door's gonna open when I walk up to it, the person's gonna welcome me when I say hello. You know what I mean? There's that voice, and that is not decided by you. The other 40% is your choice to look at things. 10% is situational. So it's like, oh, I won the lottery, I'm happy. Oh, my friend hurt my feelings, I'm sad, you know. But 40% of it is choice based. So in saying that, when we talk about self-love, when we talk about loving ourselves, there are some people who are naturally more optimistic as it relates to their relationship to the world. And how you see your relationship to the world is kind of where the self-love sustains itself. You don't need worldly things to exist inside of your heart in order for you to have self-love. But self-love is designed by the way that we see ourselves in relation to the things that are going on around us. So in saying that, some people are more naturally positioned to have a better attitude towards it, but no one is completely excluded from entering the world of self-love, and no one is completely included. There's always going to be that space in your head or your heart that has a little bit of doubt. No one is 100% there, and that's normal. There's always going to be that thing that's like, okay, wait, maybe not. Here comes the fear. Here comes the doubt. Here comes the insecurities. Everybody has it. Everybody experiences it. Nobody is absent of it. No one. But saying that to say that self-love is the core of peace. Self-love is the core of peace, or peace of self, peace of mind, sanity and serenity, self-love. And in order to reach the other levels of self, quote unquote, we're going to get to those levels, you have to first have self-love. You can't have anything else if you don't have self-love. Self-love is the root and the foundation of how you see yourself as it relates to things and people and places around you in your universe. Saying that to say, you must work on your self-love in order to be at peace. You must be willing to put in the work that it takes to love yourself in order to live a peaceful life. And every